T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, good afternoon. Here we are once again, back to normal. I know not everybody in the state has their electricity back, but we do at WTIC. It means all of our equipment is working. It means I can play sound cuts for you that I've been dying to play, because we really haven't had a chance to go back through, even last Wednesday, first full day into the power outage. And they were already, the governor was already doing the two-step of trying to dodge responsibility, claiming to be the guy in charge and pretending to know what was going on, and then shifting the blame elsewhere. Fascinating to break it down. So let's do a little forensics today. Let's listen to some sound cuts of him. Unfortunately, he's got an up-to-date press conference. Well, maybe it's fortunate with this. You know, the COVID thing was kind of burned out, but the storm thing is not burned out. So at 4 o'clock, Ned will be here doing his weaving and bobbing. He will be weaving and bobbing like a fighter who's been hit a few many times, and he's over in the corner just trying to avoid any contact. And the damage done to Ned comes from his own mouth as he blathers nonsensical interference to confuse voters. And I just want to highlight this because, to me, this is the opposite of what his job is. His job is to make us understand. What he seeks to do is to have us confused, to create a shroud around the truth so that you can kind of feel its presence. You know that Ned is standing near truth somewhere, but that it's not going to come out of his mouth except by accident and to his detriment. Because what he's after is creating the fog. He is a fog machine, Governor Fog Machine. That's what he is. Listen to him chat a tad.
Eversource has put, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of redundancy, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of remote status monitoring, doing a lot of the things that I would have hoped limited the scale of the damage. But 10 years later, this is one of the worst outages we've ever had. And to be blunt, I don't see much progress made for all the investments we made in terms of hardening, strengthening, and modernizing our grid. And we'll have a chance to take a look at that as time goes on.
Okay, this was last Wednesday. The governor saying already that it looks like the $375 million, whatever it is, of taxpayer dollars that were dispensed by Eversource to beef things up did not happen to result in great, great things. Now, this is how government works. Anybody who owns a business knows the difference. If you own, say you own a pizza place, you go by in the morning, you make sure the bread delivery came in if you get bread, you make sure the dough delivery came in if you order your dough. If you make it yourself, you go in and you make sure it's rising, looks good. Make sure you got all your supplies there. The staff shows up. Air conditioning's working. When you're a real person running a real thing, there's no, let me see who I can blame for the fact that I'm out of pizza dough and won't be able to sell pizza tonight and we'll lose $1,000. Right, there's no excuses. You can't afford to lose the money. If you're a real person doing a real thing, you make sure it works. But if you're a Jolly Ned, if you're a non-entity, born rich, never done anything, running for political office is looking for external legitimacy for a life that hasn't happened. And you want to make yourself important, and you don't feel that importance inside. So you pay people on the outside to make you feel important. You dump millions of dollars of your grandfather's money into political campaigns until finally, bingo, you win one. Suddenly you're important. And you stand up and talk like important people talk. You imitate. And you say things that don't add clarity. But they do, as it turns out. Listen to what Ned said right there. What did he say? He said, we spent all this money. Looks to me like nothing happened. It didn't get better. Well, what did Ned do to make it get better? What did he do in advance, like a leader would do, to make sure that that money? Did he go for a tour of how that infrastructure spending was implemented? Did he review with all of the critical inside operators of the electrical system in the state? Talk with them, how it works. What happens? Show me where the phone lines are. Where do the people sit? Who are the people who sit here? Are they first year out of college? Are they 20 years out on the field? Give me a feel for the operation. An experienced businessman would do this, no-brainer. An experienced leader would do this, no-brainer. Ned, it wouldn't occur to him. What would he do with the information? What questions would he ask? He doesn't know.
Meantime, I just urge Eversource, I urge United, make sure we got the people in place. We've got the emergency order out there now. We've activated the Connecticut Guard. We'll be there doing everything we can to clear trees, clear roads, with their help in terms of getting those hot wires out of place so we can start repair.
Oh, you hear him talking. Now, there, the Democrats are now declaring war on Eversource. Why are they doing this? Because Eversource is a highly regulated private corporation. The private corporation can't have a policy in place that isn't there with the understanding and approval of the government. So when you listen to him talk in this cut, listen again how he's talking. Well, at the same time that he's running around pointing the finger at Eversource for having failed, they didn't anticipate. They didn't have the people in position. What happened to the $370 million that got spent? It doesn't look like anything happened. Does that sound like a leader to you, a guy who went through and toured and talked and understood exactly how the logistics of emergency response work? Or does that sound like a follower, someone who reacts, someone who wakes up and says, well, I'm thinking about Ned and asking Annie, because she's the brains in the family. Annie, what am I supposed to do? There's no electricity. I mean, we've got the generator, but how about other people? They don't have generators, do they? Listen to how he speaks in reactive tones. You don't hear Ned talking about how ready the state was.
To clear trees, clear roads.
Let me back up a little bit.
The people in place.
Back up a little more.
Look at that as time goes on. But in the meantime, I just urge Eversource, I urge.
Does that sound like a leader who's made close personal working relationships with the key people and knows where the mechanisms of power are?
In the meantime, I just urge Eversource,
I urge United,
make sure we got the people in place. We've got the emergency order out there now.
We've got the emergency order out there now. Reactive. Ned is the reactor. While he looks at everybody else and says, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? Geez, this doesn't look too good. He does that from the posture of, I am the governor. I paid $15 million to get this office. You had damn well better listen to when I speak. But what gravitas does he bring? What leadership does he bring?
United, make sure we got the people in place. We've got the emergency order out there now. We've activated the Connecticut Guard. We'll be there doing everything we can to clear trees, clear roads, with their help in terms of...
What does he mean when he says, we'll be out there doing everything we can? Is he talking about him and Annie? What does he mean by that? And if The state is doing everything it can. A week later, there's still how many people without electricity? 85,000, 83,000? Ned and Annie have been out there with the National Guard doing everything they can to clear the roads. And it's taken them a week. He's accepting blame for this now.
Clear roads with their help in terms of getting those hot wires out of place so we can start repair. Right now, it's been safety predominantly this first day. We've got to get this state up and operating again with a working electric system. And I want that done overwhelmingly by the end of this weekend. I'm going to try and hold people accountable as best I can.
Well, there it is. Do you hear how weak he is? Do you hear all the language that he's using to make sure you don't think he can be held responsible for anything? Because in his mind, he's not responsible for anything. And he's right. He doesn't do anything.
Done overwhelmingly by the end.
He wants it done overwhelmingly. All right, he's already. Anybody who's had kids or has done leadership in any way knows that you can't issue decrees that have the hedges built in on them up front. He's saying this is an absolute. I want this done by the end of the, well, probably by the end of the week. Well, maybe next week if the pizza's slow to come. You know, it's hard to get around. Maybe the workers won't show up. Listen to how weak he sounds.
Now it's been safety predominantly this first day. We've got to get this state up and operating again with a working electric system. And I want that done overwhelmingly by the end of this weekend. I'm going to try and hold people accountable as best I can.
He's going to try. Do you hear all the hedges he builds in? It's almost impossible to put so many hedges into one sentence. I'm going to try as best I can to make an effort to hold people, if it's possible, maybe a little bit. I will absolutely somewhat try to deal, if I can sort of deal, with this almost crisis. Maybe it is a crisis. We'll see. What does he say? This is why they turn and they blame the company. But the company is controlled by the government. The government, this is what happens when the government injects itself into anything. They ruin everything they touch. They make it cost more. They make it do less. So, okay, $371 million is spent to upgrade the grid. And Ned finds out 8-9 years later, that's leadership. Oh, wait a sec. What happened to the money we spent? Do you do that at your house? If you give somebody 10 grand to fix the roof, do you wait until there's a heavy storm to see if they did it right? Or do you take a look at least? Or do you have a friend who's a roofer come by and take a look at how they're working, what material? You know, real people understand how power works. Ned doesn't seem to. 860-522-9842. We'll talk more, take some phone calls coming up on WTIC. So I think it's really important that we learn to listen when so-called leaders are engaged in so-called leadership, and how quickly, in particular, we have to notice they go to the blame game. But listen to just a touch more of Jolly Ned, then we'll take some phone calls. I can't hear the question. I don't know what he's responding to, but the response is wonderful.
Yeah, but we have a statewide outage, and there's not enough local crews to do the job. I'm saying bring them down from New Hampshire.
Do you notice the little? This is bizarre that he's doing a little Tourette syndrome performance here. Bring him down from New Hampshire. He thinks this is time to joke around or something. What is going on with him? This was Wednesday.
Yeah, but we have a statewide outage, and there's not enough local crews to do the job. I'm saying bring him down from New Hampshire. Bring him down from Vermont. Bring him down from Canada. I think Jim said we're probably going to double the number of crews within 24 hours or soon thereafter.
You hear that? What he's telegraphing here is the way leaders, quote-unquote leaders like Ned, operate. He's saying what he's been told, and now he's issuing that thing that he's been told as a decree. But then he confesses that he was told that. Listen once more.
Don't stop there. You know, there's a lot of parts of this country, the Midwest, that weren't hit, by this nature of this hit the way we were. Get those people here as well. I can tell you when it comes to linemen, when it comes to electrical, when it comes to tree work, we need those folks in-state and out-of-state.
What I want to hear, and I haven't been able to find this out specifically yet, is I want to hear exactly how it works. And this is what Ned should be asking, and this is what he should be conveying to us, and this is what he should have known before the storm came. He should have known how emergency response works. Where are the people? How far do they have to travel? How much advance notice do they need? But you remember what Ned said on Tuesday before the storm came. He's turning and blaming everybody else for not being ready now. But what did he say on Tuesday?
Do we need to call the disaster area anywhere? And I'm told there's no need to do that at this point.
I'm told Ned doesn't know. Ned is not the leader. Ned is the guy who goes into the meeting, gets briefed, and then pretends that the briefing he just received is what he knows firsthand.
Do we need to call the disaster area anywhere? And I'm told there's no need to do that at this point.
So Ned, the guy who thinks, well, he hasn't said it, but Blumenthal said it, that the CEO of Eversource needs to be fired. So I'm going to say that's Ned's desire, that's the new messaging. Fire the head of Eversource. But Ned doesn't know. Ned only repeats what he's been told.
To do that at this point, we're monitoring it closely. No need to have an emergency declaration.
No need to have an emergency declaration, said Nedlard Lamont III on Tuesday afternoon while the power was going out.
Closely, no need to have an emergency declaration either. I think we got things well in hand.
I think we got things well in hand. That could be the bumper sticker for Ned's reelection campaign. What do you think? 860-522. Hello, Tom. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I can. Is this Todd?
Oh, my Lord. Somebody with ears is on the phone. Hello, Tom.
I'm just fine, sir. You know what? I have to tell you a couple things really quick. Number one, when you first came to TIC, I wasn't that sure about you, but you have...
I wasn't either.
You have made me a fan of you, and I listen to you every night when I'm cooking dinner and having a beer at the counter here in Middlebury.
Well, so you're... What kind of dinner would you be making? Tell me, like, a recipe you'd be making.
Tonight, we are having sweet Italian sausage with...
Ooh, I like it.
With peppers and onions and a little red sauce, some pasta, which I'll let my partner choose, and fresh
grated... Your business partner or your life partner?
My life partner.
Oh, okay.
So
this
anyway,
is great. You've been cooking like that for the three years and 4 months that I've been doing radio here in Connecticut, and you haven't invited me over for dinner yet.
What? You know, I know it's a long trip from Middlebury to where you are.
Well, listen, long trips are what... I'm sure that I could probably get the governor to organize one for me, and we'd be there right
please.
On time.
You know what? I'll do my own organizing. Thank you very much. I just want to pose one thing to you, Todd. Do you know how the Democrats have rolled out one attack on our president after the other? Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tom. Hold on. I want to hear this. Please, if you can wait, we'll come to you first after the news, okay? But I'm late for news. So stay with us on WTIC. All right, let's go back to Tom in Middlebury. He put the water on for pasta. Try to get that boiling by the time I get over there tonight. All right, so Tom, thank you for waiting through the news.
Oh, it's no problem. The real reason I called is I listen to news on television. I watch the network news, which is pretty left-wing stuff. I listen to TIC. I listen to your show every day. I tune into Rush when I'm not busy working. So I feel like I get a good feel for both sides of the issues. But what is stark for me is that how these things come sequentially timed. And you know what I'm talking about, but the president, you know, first it was Stormy Daniels, then it was, then you know, one attack after the other, and when that one fails, the next one comes. Here in Connecticut, in the last month, we all got giant double or triple electric bills from Eversource because of something the legislature did 2 years ago. And everybody was up in arms about that until this big storm came. Now, I'm not assuming that the Connecticut government can arrange a storm to hit, but it just seems really weird that these happen sequentially. And now nobody's talking about the tripling of our electric bills. Everybody's talking about when we're going to get our power back.
Well, I think the rest of your analysis is right on. In the case of the Eversource thing, it's just a fluke that they happen to line up that way. And I think it makes it worse for the Democrats because that's why they're running so quickly. Almost from minute one, Ned was looking for someone else to blame, and he didn't have to look because he knew who he was going to blame. They always blame the government if they can avoid blaming the government. In other words, it's the government's fault that this happened, but they don't want to say that. So what do? They blame Eversource. Eversource, the most regulated businesses in the world, in our country, our electric and other utility providers, because those are viewed as a public resource, and we have these special oversight structures in place. So the
and they are truly monopolies.
Well, not truly. So take the word truly out because there's more than one. If there's more than one, it's not truly a monopoly. But they essentially are monopolies, which is the reason why the government says to us, we have to save the people from these evil monopolies. So instead of us having to directly deal with the evil monopolies, we have the benevolent, loving, caring, compassionate government standing there for us. And what does the government do? The government makes a mess of everything and then blames it on the people they order around. What kind of bulldog is that?
It's unbelievable. It's really incredible to me. I know you probably have to go, but you should think about this, what I'm going to say on the way out. And that is, you and I will always have Manchester, New Hampshire together.
We will?
Yes.
Let me think. Now, there's no way I can place you. You did radio in Manchester when I did radio there?
I was at
WKBR
1250 in Manchester, New Hampshire.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I do voiceover today.
So what did you do there? Were you an on-air guy?
I was a nighttime jock. I was a 7 to midnight jock back then. I was 26 years old or something.
On the AM station or on the FM?
The FM was WZID, and that was beautiful music.
No, but they also had, because I was a rock DJ up there. I'm mixing up stations. After that, I went to Rock 101, FM. Yeah, okay.
I worked
Tom,
for a guy named Ralph Gottlieb at WKBR. Back in around 1975.
I remember. You know what I remember about you? I'm going to let you go, Tom, because people are getting bored. I can tell they're dozing off. But thank you for the call and thank you for the memories. What I remember about KBR vividly, and this is relevant to our conversation, is that this radio station, which was a hokey AM station in a house, basically, but in the garage was a generator with a huge tank of fuel to keep that thing going. So in power outages, and this was, well, he told you early 70s, that's a lot of years ago. I'm not going to do the math right now, but sounds somehow like 50 years, which doesn't seem realistic. But the 45 maybe, I don't know. I was in my 20s too. All right, Doug in Waterbury, hi
there.
Hello, Doug.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Let me see if I can make it clearer. How is that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the overcharges on the Eversource bills.
Yes.
Okay. I've been writing down some things. Back on July 30th, Channel 4 at 11 p.m. said Blumenthal and William Tong are raising concerns over the transmission delivery rates access charges. They also said the newscast that night also said they sent a letter asking to delay increases to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and that newscast also said that Eversource says that they share customer concerns of higher bills and is working with somebody to help reduce them. That was okay. July 30th. What has become of that?
Which part of it?
Politicians sending letters of concern to whichever people that they sent them to. I could repeat anything.
Well, what would ever come of that? That's just noise making. That's somebody. So Blumenthal's thing, as you well know, is if there's a story that if there's one hair on his body that is somehow related to that story, he'll run and jump in front of the truck that's barreling down the turnpike of news guys with cameras and lights, you know, because he doesn't want to miss being the center of attention for a second. So when you really have nothing
service
to say, what do? You say, I'm writing a letter. Who opens letters anymore? Who cares about letters? What does that mean, he's sending a letter? What would come of it?
That means he's trying, and trying might be lying.
Exactly. It's nonsense.
So I can't call my electric company tomorrow and ask them the same question, like, hey, is my bill slightly lower because of these things?
Oh, well, I forgot about the lower. So they did lower the rates back down as a result of the outrage, which would have been, I think, a week ago last Friday. So that would have been about the 1st, 2nd, somewhere, or the 31st. It may have been that Blumenthal actually knew that was coming and was acting, trying to create an appearance of cause and effect by announcing it before it came out, or I'm not sure. But
well, if that's
these
case,
are the games.
He certainly faked me out.
Yeah, well, these are the games they play. Listen to this story. The pressure on Eversource continues as nearly a week later, thousands of customers in Connecticut remain without power following the storm. During a news conference on Monday, Senator Richard Blumenthal said he is demanding the head of Eversource, CEO James Judge, step down. Now, why should the head of Eversource step down any more than Ned Lamont should step down?
Yeah. Let me ask you one more thing, please.
Yes.
I'm going to call my electric company tomorrow. Is it a reasonable question to ask them if my rates have gone down because of this news over the last week? And would they be up front and tell me?
Oh, yeah. They've probably issued a new bill already. This was already decided. This is how guilty they feel, because we know that they don't do anything to correct anything. I'm talking about the government. But,
yes.
But basically, the government ran straight to Eversource and said, we're in trouble on this rate hike stuff because we were too stupid to run the numbers to see how much people's bills would go up when we passed this legislation, which they didn't. They had the chance to look, and they didn't look. They have number crunchers at the state capitol who could have told them how much the bills will go up. Oh. But these guys don't care. They're used to abusing you every day, Doug, and it never mattering. So they don't pay any attention. So now what they're trying to do is correct. This was before the storm came, what they were up to. They did lower. They backed off some of those increases temporarily, give everyone a chance, let the smoke blow over before they stick it to you again.
Well, I'm going to call and make sure of that, and I'll call you back, and I'll report on their answer shortly.
That's wonderful. Thank you for doing that, Doug. This is what we need, is citizen journalists. You out there sticking for yourself. Flood their phones with calls. Flood the governor's office with calls. Ned is essentially, do you know that Ned that Ned, one of his first things, I think, when he took office was he was going to add a couple more commissioners to PURA. Ned controls PURA. That's his agency. The people who run PURA are Ned's personal picks. And he runs around saying, PURA, which oversees the electric companies, Ned says, we've got to have PURA investigate. Investigate? You're asking them to investigate themselves. That's like Ned saying to Annie, I'm going to investigate what you made me for breakfast. Well, why don't you just ask her? She's your wife. Why don't you just remember? You ate it. I mean, these people, the games they play to scam you are so transparent and so malicious and so hateful. It's the idea they ever use the word compassion, having something to do with themselves or their policy. Government, you know, I was thinking about it over the weekend. I'm convinced now. I'm sorry. I know I've got full phone lines, and I'll get to them in a sec. But I don't know, 90%. Pick a number. I would like to shut down 90% of it. But I don't think shutting down 90%, just get rid of it. None of it does anything except squander money on a permanent basis. Really, please challenge me on what part of the government you think is so precious that it must be preserved. Jill in Windsor, hi.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about two.
Thank you for all your emails, if that
oh,
was
you're
you.
Welcome. Anytime.
You're the Jill.
I'm glad I could get back online. But anyhow, I wanted to talk about Governor Lamont, the state representatives, the state senators, and PURA are not taking ownership for their mistakes, for their negligence. They neglected to protect their residents in Connecticut for their increase in electricity. And also, I want to know what Governor Lamont did on Monday to ensure that Eversource was ready to immediately respond for this emergency. That's his job. He was appointed in that position to lead the state. And he's doing a lot of backswimming, and everybody's blaming Eversource. It's Governor Lamont's responsibility to contact and coordinate with Eversource and the state workers and the town workers for immediate power restoration. So he did nothing on Monday. If he had checked other weather reports, he would have seen all different weather reports coming up right through Connecticut. He didn't do it, and he's blaming Eversource. And I say it's not Eversource's fault. It's Governor
Lamont.
Well,
wait a sec, Jill.
Yes.
He did check the weather report and listen to what he said.
Closely, no need to have an emergency declaration either. I think we got things well in hand.
He said, we got things well in hand.
That's what idiots do. And if he had a real job, he would have been fired and never been able to go to any type of job in that field again, because everybody would know he's a con artist. Thanks, Todd.
Well, thank you. Are you kidding me? I love calls like that. Thank you, Jill. Yes, he's a con man, a two-bit, no-good con man who spends all of his time creating facades so that you don't understand what's going on. PURA, controlled by Ned's friends because he appointed them, they get $45,000 a year each. And their job is to tell Eversource and all the utilities, not just electric, what to do. And when 2 years ago the legislature passed a law saying that they wanted to double the cost of new sources of energy by doubling the amount of new sources of energy over 10 years, They deliberately passed a law to drive up the cost of your electric bill so that they could run around claiming to be the holiest of leftists, and that is to make it impossible to function in the state, to survive here as a member of the middle class by going green faster than the rest of the country. So they passed a law saying from right now, 2020, go from 17% of the electric in the state coming from non-fossil fuels, from wind, electricity, other things that don't create the greenhouse gases. They want to go from 17% to 40% over the next decade. That's a law passed by the Democrats in Connecticut because they think that's somehow going to stop global warming, and that's holy and beautiful and wonderful and compassionate. And then they cover up the cost hit to you. That's how it works. Sean, I'm coming to you first when we continue on WTIC. So the Democrats, who control every move made by Eversource, are now saying it's Eversource's fault, and they want the CEO of Eversource to step down because he messed up the storm. But Jolly Ned, of course, got everything right because he's perfect. He's all-knowing. And this is what he said Tuesday afternoon as the waves were lapping up around his ankles as the storm blew through and power was going out. What did Ned say?
I think we got things well in hand.
Yeah, I think we got things well in hand, he says. And then he's got the gall. He's got the gall to say people should be fired, but not be pointing at himself. He should be looking in the mirror when he says that. Sean, you've been waiting a long time. Thank you.
Hey, we had a little connection issue. Yeah, so I'm in Southbury. The area that I live in, which I did not live in 2 years ago, was decimated by the tornado. This was one of the worst hit areas. We've been without power. As I advised last week to text that number, I did. We were on schedule to be done by tomorrow by noon. Now we're off the schedule. So we have no known time for return. There's about 70 to 100 homes here. These are very nice homes in a nice part of town. We're right off the highway, so anyone driving to Middlebury has to pass by us to fix this. There are two downed lines on a road over from us that has caused this problem. Eversource has had somebody there for 5 days at both points. One person there, mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, paying them somewhere between $30 and $40 an hour to sit there instead of fixing the lines, which would probably take 3 hours. There's been no
There have been so many of these stories that I really don't understand, Sean, the amount of sitting that apparently crews are doing. And that would seem to point back to the companies not having proper coordination system in places to manage their crews. And I don't know what would happen, except maybe they were just so overwhelmed.
No, here's what happened. I've been probing quite a few people trying to get the facts. The first problem was I'm reasonably sure this happened. Governor Lamont, for at least 48 hours, would not allow people from quarantine states to come in and fix our power without quarantining. And Eversource...
Wait a second. Are you telling me he stopped crews, for work crews, from coming in?
I have been told this by multiple people who work in this, who do this for a living, that everyone knows that that's what happened, that it was at least 48 hours, that the governor was making them... not come here from states, because all the
well,
ones I've seen.
But,
from New Hampshire,
but Sean, this is what the governor said on Tuesday.
I think we got things well in hand.
So he probably wasn't worried about those people coming in, huh? All right, I'm sorry, boy, I lost track of the time. We're right up to news time. Thank you, Sean, for the call.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.